Hello and welcome to From a Basement in Tulsa. I'm Jason Ferguson and welcome to episode 125 featuring our friends Doc Fell and Company. This is going to be kind of a long intro because I have some things I want to talk about, but I first want to tell you about the recording of this episode. The plan was I got a snake in the studio, which is basically a long cable with 8 inputs that I can route to the other room in the studio, so now I can have bands come over and play in the second room. So I called some friends, which happens to be Doc Fell. Actually, I Facebook messaged him, but I'll call it called, and said, hey man, come play some songs. And they did. They came over and spent pretty much a whole day with me in the studio playing some songs. We spent the most time recording a multi-track song, meaning that we played, we had them play every part individually, and we didn't have enough time to do it too fancy or too crazy, but it was just for me to have the opportunity to do that for the first time, and it was an incredible time. But a little bit more about Doc Fell and Company. That's Don Fell and friends playing some songs that they write, and it's kind of a collaborative group effort, and they just hang out having fun playing songs, and you'll hear more about that. But I love the idea of their band. I love their music, and I really, really loved hanging out with them. I feel like it's cheating some way because I had so much fun recording this today, and I got to relive it editing just now at the last minute, of course. But I had fun. I think they had fun, and the conversation was a great time. And having them there playing music was a complete honor. That's what that was. And okay, so you can find them at docfellmusic.com and find some of their dates, find out when they're going to be coming around in town. I know that they invited me on Facebook to September 2nd. They'll be at the Full Moon Cafe in Broken Arrow, which is just a little ways from Tulsa. So if you're near, I'm going to try really hard to go to that and hang out and tell more stories about what happened on this podcast, and we'll talk about the things I ended up cutting out and the things I should have cut out. DocFellMusic.com. Please follow them. Show your appreciation. Help me show an appreciation for them coming and spending several hours in studio with me. And what I want to tell you is we recorded the multi-track song, and I was goofing off putting way too many microphones in front of John's acoustic guitar, and I'd been scared of phase, and I've learned recently about phase and like the relationship with phase and music. Basically, what that means is if you're using more than one microphone and picking up an audio signal, if you pick up the signal in different places of the waveform, the audio will actually cancel out. So if you pick up the same tone at the complete reverse of the waveform, if one microphone's picking it up at the top of the waveform and another microphone is picking it up at the bottom of the waveform, it will literally cancel out completely. And so I put 3 microphones up in front of this acoustic guitar, knowing there'd be some phase issues, but it's the first time I've actually got to witness it firsthand. So I have the good version of the acoustic guitar playing in the music bed. I'm going to pull that up. And then, here's the acoustic track we end up using. Now watch what happens when I reverse the phase. You'll really hear some cancellation, which I think is pretty cool. It's the same track. It's just the phase is reversed on one of the microphones, and some of the frequencies cancel out completely. Yeah, so That's what I wanted to show you. I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you'll find and follow Doc Fell on Facebook and Twitter. I'll leave links to their social media in the episode description, and I hope you enjoy this crazy fun episode with a bunch of music and just a bunch of good times. Here's Doc Fell and Company. Kevin, can I have you talk a little bit? I'm not sure I'm picking you up.
Hello. Hello.
That's enough.
No more talking. I'm out.
Joe, can we hear from you?
That'll be the start of the podcast. Welcome, you guys.
Welcome back, Joe.
Hey.
We're live now. Doc Fell and Co. is back. Who's and Co?
And Co. And Co today is Kevin Rose, the way from Oklahoma. And we have Kyle Brown, all the way from Stillwell, Oklahoma.
You have to specify. And then there's Joe Sloan. Say hi, Joe.
Crickets. Hey, can you add that later? Just a cricket effect right there.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I could, but I always pretend I'm going to do something like in post, and then never do.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm editing.
Joe was going to be here. He loved it so much last time. He literally walked outside and he like was freaking out. He's like, man, that was the best time ever. I had the great time interview. And he's like, can we do it again? I was like, yeah. And then he overslept today and
forgot.
I'm sure he's crying right now.
So. Well, he'll definitely start crying again when he hears this. Perfect.
Love you, Joe.
Podcast is done. We've done everything we need to do. Doc Fell and Company is That's back right. and co. I'm so glad to hang out with you guys again. I'm kind of scared you might be tired of me already because you've been here all day.
Yeah.
But the story is you guys are letting me record your songs in a multi-track format,
right?
Which I've never done before.
Yeah.
So we've been.
You seem like you knew what you were doing.
I pretend well.
I told you when we got here, I said, we'll be your guinea pig, you know, and then you can bring in the good bands later. I'm just joking about that, but we think we're pretty good, but we appreciate it. And I think it's a good opportunity to get some of our music laid down that we, you know, have a limited amount of time that we can spend recording, doing multi-tracks in the regular studio. And this is a great chance to get to do something like that. And you get to experiment with it.
Yeah. Thank you for that. For all day. I've been having a blast. I hope you guys have been too, but would you like to introduce yourselves? I think we already introduced you, but you know,
individually, let's go around the table.
Yeah.
Hi. My name is John.
Hi, I'm Jason.
I'm Kevin.
Hello, Kevin. And you're playing cajon in the,
I slept my cajon.
Yes.
In the
what we did is we recorded three just now live, mm-hmm. and we've been working most of the day on a multi-track version, which means everybody just plays their part individually by itself to a previously recorded track so that we can really isolate that, just in case anybody didn't know what that meant. And so we're still working on that one. You still have to go back and sing vocals after we record the podcast.
Well, on the multi-track, you go back and make it sound different and better is what you do.
Well, we like
when it's live, you just got to live with it. But in multi-track, you're like, I'm going to bring in someone else to sing.
So we're kind of
sounds so good.
We have three live to play that we're just going to live with. Like, there's nothing. Like, I didn't even like check the mics. I just put them up there.
Let them go. Yeah.
And they're like, start playing, guys, and then didn't stop recording until you guys were like done.
Yeah, we had a good time. I think we did. It's live. Oh wow.
Was there an organ in one song? That was weird.
He has an organ pedal. Kyle does. Want to talk about that?
Was that really?
He has a giant organ.
Yeah.
Is what it's called.
it was pretty big.
Yeah.
Because that's actually the setting I had it on was fat and thick.
Oh,
nice. Shit. It lies.
I got pulled in so deep with that.
I didn't see it. I was in the other room. I just heard it.
He labeled it himself.
So. I was isolated.
Yeah. Well, catch me up. What have you guys been doing since really?
I think we've been kicking a lot of ass. I mean, you know, in a biblical sense, we've been kicking a lot of ass. What are we doing, Kyle? We've been recording our new, our second album. What do they call that? A sophomore release. It's going to be called Dust Bowl Heart.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about?
He's still laughing about the fast and thick thing.
I was laughing about the sophomore release.
All right. Sophomore release. And sophomore album? Is that what it's called? I don't know.
There we go.
Shit if I know. So anyway, sorry about that, Kyle. I mean, and Kevin, didn't mean to cuss in front of you. These guys are sensitive. Anyway, recording a multi-track studio album. And we were promoting that in advance. And one of the live takes we did, This Machine, is one of the songs I'd written specifically for the album during the recording process. And what else is going on? We've been playing a lot of festivals.
Yeah.
We were West Bend Green this last weekend, and we're playing a bike rally later today in Tahlequah, the Big Jim motorcycle rally, thousands of bikers. And then next week, we've got the Green Country Roots Festival in Tahlequah as well.
Nice.
And then we're playing the Bluegrass Chili Festival in Claremore sometime after that. And in between all that, just living our lives.
Tahlequah's been doing some stuff, huh? I've been up there. I went up there for the river the day. Here's the only way I remember like what day. I don't know what day it was, but I remember that it was the first day that Pokemon Go was released. I was really depressed because like the servers were down, and I was at the river. And then like I also found out that there's no extra like Pokemon out. I thought there'd be Pokemon out in the wild, but turns out they're just all in the cities.
No, they're all domesticated.
Yeah, they're all up in the cities and stuff. But yeah, Tahlequah's doing a bunch of cool stuff. I've seen a few festivals going on there.
They have a lot, and then they're an Oki Wagon Festival, which is just they bring in tons of. Not tons, literally, probably literally tons, but Volkswagens just all restored, and they have a big show down Main Street, and we're playing that. So most of our festival activity is focused in the Tahlequah area, but we have been branching out. We did play in a Broken Arrow at the Full Moon Cafe, and then we're looking forward to setting up a date in the near future, playing White Flag here downtown Tulsa and getting into the downtown Tulsa market a little bit. So
yeah, great. Well, we have four songs to play, unless I screwed up one of them. But
right.
So well, let's go ahead and listen to... the first one you guys played in the studio, because you just mentioned it, and then we'll come back and talk about the real studio.
It's called This Machine. It's a song I'd written. We were actually going to San Antonio, and I wrote about going to San Antonio, and it was inspired by Woody Guthrie. Because This Machine, on my guitar, I wrote This Machine kills hate and kills fascists, kills all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it kills my game, but you know.
Vibes.
But it's a really fun track. I don't know. Kevin said it was his favorite to play. What do you like about it? Just kind of the...
Just the rhythm.
The rhythm, and it's just kind of got a funky blues. I don't know. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, well, let's just hear
it. I decided that you asked last time we were here what kind of music we play, and I said Americana and blues and country. I wasn't sure. We play Okie music.
That's what
we're
saying
from now on. We're Okie. We play Okie music. That's our style, Okie.
I'm into it. Well, let's hear this machine, and then we'll come back, and I'll ask for all your secrets you learned at the real studio. All right. You don't actually get to hear it.
It's not really playing.
Sorry.
Pretend like it is.
It's playing in some alternate universe.
Double night through the hail and the rain. Tumbleweed down the highway blown. Fucked up on Red Bull and Mescaline. Hit a bull roadhouse in San Antonio. On a third red honky tonk too. Cigarette smoke lingers on my skin. My guitar I shotgun by the door. This machine and I and things we've seen. Machine don't run on gasoline, it's fueled by harmonic rhythm and blues. Machine's got scars, broken strings, known to kill a fascist or two. Sing a lullaby soft as an autumn sky. Suck the poison from life's sting. Washed in the blood, whiskey rye.
Did you hear that?
That was amazing. you hear the way he slapped that djembe? you didn't play on that. You did on the recorded one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So now you're part of In Company.
Oh, I am. Wow,
you are. You're part of the company now.
Well, we'll have to bring that up in a bit.
I always say at the shows, I'm always like, beware the company you keep because you wind up with guys like this and gals. And that's kind of true. Now we got Jesus in the band, though, so it's all good.
Tell me about, you mentioned writing that one at the studio, I guess. So tell me about the studio you've been working with.
Yeah. We record in a studio in Tahlequah. It's in a second story of an old downtown Tahlequah building. Been there for 15 years. The studio has. The building's been there since 1800 whatever's. Since the Wild West. Mm-hmm. And our buddy Aaron Pack runs it, and it's his passion, and he's done that for a long time. Great studio. He doesn't advertise it, but it's kind of word of mouth, and he just takes who he wants to take, and he does it on the afternoons and weekends. But super professional. He's got a great ear, really great sound engineer, and we were lucky enough to get to record our first album there, and he was kind enough to take our second project and kind of push it forward. And it's been a whole different experience moving in the second album, taking some of the knowledge we learned on the first time and building on that, and new songs and new musicians, and kind of a new direction with the music as well.
Yeah. Joe, how have you been, man? Is that joke old yet? We've already done it four times.
No, okay. <it's hilarious.
laughs> You said he had a great ear, and that's one of the things I don't know if I'm stressing about it, I'm worried about, is that learning to record, learning to make music like this, all you can do is like keep doing it, and time.
Right.
You have to have time experiencing it.
I mean, that's part of it too. I mean, you can, he reads magazines, he stays on things. It's funny. He has a lot of music knowledge, and it's very helpful. We had a flute player in last week, and he was talking about hitting the fifth or whatever octave and the fourth. He knew all this stuff that I was like, what the heck is he talking about? You know, and
I barely know what a flute is.
Yeah, I know. And he could talk to her about that. And you know, when a bass player comes in, he knows the lingo to speak and tell them how to communicate with every musician. They kind of have a different language. You know, mm-hmm. drummers understand things differently than guitar players versus vocalists versus whatever instrument you have. And he has a good communication skill with that, and a good ear for kind of hearing what works and what doesn't and mixing it. But you know, part of it's just instinct and just trusting your gut. And I think that's what you need to do, is just kind of, you know, let the music lead you.
Yeah. And get better bands in here. I'm just kidding.
All professional bands, for damn sure, right?
I said that because you said it.
Bands
earlier
that can play to a click track. That's my downfall. My Achilles heel. You're like, dude, play to a click track. I'll try.
I forgot until, like, I think about it. Every time somebody brings that up, I remember on my album that I did, I guess the only thing that made it on the album that I did was singing, because I remember they were trying to make me, they were having me play to a click, and they're like, hey, let me do this part. And so I didn't even play acoustic on my record. It's just me singing. And like, I'm going to a recording school.
Yeah.
And I went to that same school 10 years ago for aviation when they're building this recording studio setup. And I remember, like, I was one of the first few years of people, my friend was going to class there and he recorded my songs. I remember back then that he wanted to multi-track my guitar, but I couldn't even play it to an acoustic, or I couldn't play it to a click, and I couldn't play it the same way twice. I don't know. I just remember
I'm lucky my guitar makes it on the tracks. I mean, it frequently gets buried or it gets, but it's the roots of it. You know, we go in and guitar, and then vocals is kind of where we build everything from. And then, you know, sometimes those vocals actually make it on through. Sometimes we have to go back and re-record them, you know, it just depends. But that's kind of the starting point for everything. And then we bring in everyone else and, make the magic happen, bring in the real artists.
I'm happy for you. I need you to learn all these secrets and bring them to me.
Right.
Just start asking a bunch of weird questions.
Well, you can definitely, you know, you should come to Tahlequah sometime and hang out with Pac and check out the studio.
That'd be awesome.
And he could probably teach you a lot. And then we'll put you up in the gazebo and you can have a one-man
band. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Right? So I was trying to come see you guys in Tahlequah because you were playing at Iguanas, which we talked about last time. Mm-hmm. There was a gazebo back there. Is it not there anymore?
Still there, still there,
it just kind of burnt a little bit.
It's a different gazebo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They built a nicer gazebo.
Oh, okay.
For sure. Yeah.
I got it. But that was we really didn't explain that joke at all. The joke was I went and played at that gazebo and you guys blamed me for burning it down.
You thought you were playing Iguana.
Yeah.
And then you got there and they said, oh, we're actually just playing the gazebo. And it wasn't actually a gig. It was just them up in the park on it.
It was me setting up. I brought all the sound and everything.
You brought all the sound. So
could you run this extension cord?
Yeah. And you played one guy, the homeless guy's like, yay.
Yeah. My biggest fan.
Hopefully you guys had a crowd, but I mean, just saying, it wasn't like a real, you know, you get there expecting one thing and then it's another and it's like, oh man.
What's been going on with shows? You've been having fun? I see you've had some lineup changes and not necessarily lineup changes, sorry, instruments. You've had added more instruments and stuff like that.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, it's the company thing. Do you want to talk about some of the... Kyle and Kevin are here. They're just being quiet. Look at them.
Well, you guys are talking. You guys are doing a great job.
Kyle had really good connections with some artists starting in the first album that have been fortunate enough to play along with this. We had last weekend, we played with Kelly Farmer, who does a really amazing job with fiddle. And then Terry Day is going to play with us today, later today, doing some steel.
Oh, cool.
So we just bring in those kind of artists. I don't know. That's kind of the main crew right now as far as extended. But we brought Kevin on board. He and I actually started our musical career together. It was, God, 10,
over 10 years
20
ago.
Years ago, maybe. Yeah, it was 90 years ago that Kevin and I started playing music together. I think it was the praise band at church.
Yeah,
like,
we started in church.
Like, I knew he played drums and he knew I played guitar and sang. So somehow we, you know, got together and started doing that. And then out of that, we built our cover band and we played a long time. And then once we moved to Tahlequah, we kind of didn't play music much together. But Kevin's back on board now and kicking some serious butt. So
yeah. Yeah. Punching a cajon in the face.
Well, yeah, I'll play the cajon when it calls for it, but I also play the drum set too.
Oh, nice.
When we need that. So,
yeah. And in the organ, he plays a big organ too.
Kyle, what have you been up to, man?
What have I been up to?
You've been kicking ass, man.
Yeah, that's pretty much about it. Just kicking ass.
Could you? We only have an hour, man.
Elaborate on that.
Could you shorten that a little bit? We only have an hour to talk, so. What a good interview question. I have a kind of interview question. It's not really an interview question. It's just a weird question.
Uh-huh.
I've been talking a lot about confidence and how weird it is sometimes, and like how strange it is sometimes to even be like let yourself consider yourself good at something. And I wanted to ask about you, because your day job requires some confidence, and I wonder like how that compares to playing music, because then I know you have to speak with some authority being a doctor, I'm sure, sometimes, or at least pretend you know what you're talking about pretty well.
I think you have to have confidence,
uh-huh.
whether you actually know what you're doing. And I think it's the same with playing music. I definitely don't always feel like I'm prepared to get up in front of a big crowd and play music, and you know, all the insecurities that you can think of in the world run through your mind. You know, am I going to forget the words? How many times am I going to mess up on the chords?
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of things. And, but if you get up with confidence and just kind of own it, you know, it seems like most of the time you can power through it, and you know, the mistakes don't mean as much, and it works the same way. I mean, you know, it's a complicated medical field out there, and you know, sometimes you don't have the answer. Sometimes you're struggling to kind of make, you know, people get better, and sometimes they don't. And, you have to have the confidence to go in and just kind of make decisions and stick with them. And if they don't work, then reevaluate the situation. And that's kind of my motto with everything. But I mean, to be honest, I mean, I think insecurity is a big part of all of us. I mean, we all doubt ourselves a lot about, you know, whatever we're doing in life. I mean, you're doubting yourself about being able to do a recording thing, you know, but you'll be probably pretty good at it. If you're passionate about it, you'll find a way to make it happen. One of my coworkers at the hospital the other day, Scott, he stopped me and he goes, my wife showed me this article. It said that talked about intelligent people have like, they're majorly insecure of their abilities and they drink a lot. And he goes, yes. He's like, we nailed it. And I was like, yeah, we high five right there. I was like, that's us to a T. There's one other thing that was like in there too, that was just like us. I was like, that's totally what we are. But it's true for music as well as anything else. I mean, you know, I write songs and then, you know, I feel insecure about, you know, even sharing them. It's like, oh man, what if this is the song that really sucks? And there's some songs that I've written and thought, I'm never going to play these ever in public. And then later on, I like get comfortable with them. And then I'm like, you know, this isn't so bad. Then I'll play it. And I'm like, oh, people like it. So I guess it isn't so bad, but it's just, I think a constant thing where you kind of doubt yourself and have to push forward. So.
Yeah. Are there hidden places on the internet that doctors can research stuff? Is that a thing?
Like, yeah, it's a, Wikipedia.
Oh, is it? Like when you leave the room, you just Google
it? Yeah, I'm like, oh, crap, what is this? No, you know, the internet is a wonderful resource. I think it's actually improved for the general public, and I know we're getting into a different topic here, but
it's okay.
General public used to be, it was horrible. People would research things on the internet, you know, WebMD or whatever, and kind of diagnose themselves. Kyle's a hypochondriac. We need to talk about that. But people would come in and know their condition. But now it's actually, I think it's refined quite a bit, and people do actually come in fairly well in the ballpark. You know, and I'm like, you know, you're actually right. I think you may have a thyroid problem or whatever the case may be, you know, so. But, you know, as a medical professional, I don't have to look up as much anymore, but there are moments where I need to, and the internet's a very prompt way to be able to just plow through it and find information, you know, readily accessible, just like the rest of the world in every other case. Kyle's taking on a project, he YouTubes it, and then he's like, kicks the crap out of it. You know? He's been doing some work for me around the house and stuff, and I'll just say, can you do this? He's like, no, but I can figure it out. And I come home, and he's just done an amazing job, and it's like, man, how did you do that? And he's like, I just YouTubed it. But seriously, Kyle's a hypochondriac. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
What's that mean?
No.
A hypochondriac.
Hypochondriac.
I hop around on different issues that may have wrong with me.
He has the Zika virus. And
All of them?
Yeah.
How uncomfortable does the basement make you?
I don't know. I got a mosquito bite the other day, and I think it's developed into some form of cancer.
Probably.
I hope not.
Let's not Google it. It's better to not know.
Yeah, it's better to not know.
let's talk about song two, because I feel like I actually want to know about that effect you were using. And not song two. It's actually called In Your Eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to talk about my big organ.
Yeah. The giant one. It's very, very wide.
Yeah, very,
very full.
Thick and full.
Let's talk about that. About In Your Eyes, the song, and that's what I noticed the most was the.
That's a song that John and I actually had sent him a few of the lyrics that I was kind of messing around with, and
I think the verse was really a big part of what you provided on that one. I remember that. Go ahead though.
No, sorry. I lost my train of thought when you started talking.
I'm sorry. I'll quit.
I get all interested in what you have to say.
The verse. You nailed it.
Yeah, I nailed it.
We do co-write now. Now, in the first album, I had independently written everything. And then in the second album, there's several songs that Kyle and I co-wrote together.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And not deliberately. It's like...
you didn't mean to let him...
We don't sit down and actually write together. But he'll send me an idea, or I'll send him, say, you know, an idea, and he's like, bounces it back to me. It's kind of communicating, but I'm not very good with like sitting down with someone. But what In Your Eyes and the organ was, I think, a cool effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually the first time I think I used organ.
Great. Well,
we'll see if it's okay.
Let's hear it and we'll find out. Recorded here. Probably terribly.
I seen the mist rising from the canyon. Seen it wash the sleep from the mountain's eyes. And I seen the sunlight bursting like a fountain. And I seen it chase the shadows from the morning sky. I seen my soul in a crystal clear river. And I laid my burdens on that rocky floor. And all my life, you know, I've been a-searching. From the belly of the ocean down to God's celestial shore. And I don't know if I'll ever find Jesus. I don't know if I'll ever see the light, but I know the land of Canaan's between us, and I swear I see heaven somewhere in your eyes. I seen the coldest winter warm by spring. Tempest raging on the ocean. Three times now or so, well, I've heard the rooster sing. Seen shooting star and a four-leaf clover. And I closed my eyes each time and made a wish. And I seen a good man betrayed for silver. He came in the name of love, and he was betrayed with a kiss. I don't know if I'll ever find Jesus. I don't know if I'll ever see the light. But I know the land of Canaan's between us. And I swear I see heaven somewhere in deserve. Well, I'll fall asleep and stay there a while. In your arms I find safety from this old world. And I find comfort in the shadow of your smile. See the light, but I know the land of Canaan's between us, and I swear I see heaven somewhere in your eyes. I know the land of Canaan's between us, and I swear I see heaven somewhere in your eyes.
Let's talk about the miking, what we did on this, the songs we played here. We really just set up some mics and recorded all of them, didn't stop. But Kyle, we put your guitar in a corner and like some sound treatment in front of it, which is, I don't know, kind of cool. I'm hoping this is a cool thing to hear visually, to hear me describing the visuals on the podcast. And then for the cajon, we just dropped a microphone in the back of it, which I thought was brilliant. Yep. I guess that's normal. Is that a thing you do?
Yeah, I just take the bass drum mic and stick it in my hole.
so awkward, glorious.
Kyle's going to put his organ in the hole later.
And then I tried to separate, you were playing and singing at the same time, John, and I tried the mic, the guitar with the mic, and then put a different one up to your voice. We'll see how it worked out later.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually, the listeners just
found
out.
On one particular song, the mic was, the vocal mic kept going down, like during the song, and I didn't want to stop, so I kept slouching, and then eventually I was like all the way slouched down in my chair. And the microphone was awkward to see. It was a very awkward position to be singing and playing in.
My voice kept getting lower. Like, yeah. Kept dropping an octave.
Well, what if it actually did that? Like the lowering of the mic actually changed the octaves. I ruined your joke, but.
But hopefully it's helped. Yeah. Yeah. I get to where you're going. Oh my God. Oh, wow. That's an inside joke we got going on right now. Well, so, yeah.
Thanks for sharing it with me.
No. Yeah. Well, you want to share it?
No. Not really.
So Kyle's girlfriend was telling him something like really, really important.
Uh-huh.
And Kyle was busy doing something and like really, really important. And he goes, oh, wow. and she stops. He goes, did you just say, oh, wow? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And he's like, totally was not focused on the moment. She's like, I was just telling you this important thing, and this is the response I get.
So, yeah, anyway, I wasn't listening at all.
This is the part where you cut all that part out.
Do not remind. She knows about the joke.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows about the joke.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I shouldn't have said that then, probably. I don't know.
Did you just push pause on the phone?
Yeah.
How does arranging work when you're writing the songs together now? How is that coming to play? Because I noticed the song we recorded multi-track that I hope turns out awesome later. Kyle kind of wrote it here because you wrote the song a couple days ago and he wrote his part.
Yeah,
just
that's par for the course.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? I mean, many times I just say, hey, there's a new song, and then we just do it. The reality of the situation is like we're so busy. I'm so busy. We don't really ever have time to rehearse, practice things. So songs we're familiar with, you know, we'll listen to them. You know, we have some recorded. Kevin's listened to, and he kind of learns how to play them that way. But actually sitting down and figuring out anything never gets done. And like that song, I've only played through it one time before. Like I sat down with the guitar the other day and played it for Kyle live, like first time ever. And then I played it here. And I didn't really have an arrangement. It was just how it came out.
Yeah.
But it's how I heard it in my head. So that's good. But we're never, and then he made up his guitar stuff just on the fly.
When you're writing this, like when you're writing a song, do you hear his guitar part when you're writing it, or is it all?
No, I would like to say I do, but I mean, he comes up with ideas that would not dream of. And I'm really always impressed about the lyric. I mean the licks and the stuff he'll come up with and, on the fly, really, a lot of times. I mean, I'm sure we'd like to have moments to prepare for that sort of thing, but preparation is never. We have preparation H, but we don't have the other kind of preparation.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. <It's> stupid. Remind me that I went with you. I saw you guys at Levi Parham's CD release show, and we had a lot of fun. I think we played cornhole.
Yeah, we did. It was the first time we did cornhole with each other.
I played the beanbag game before, but I never knew it was a.
Do we need to describe what cornhole is so people in listening audience
know? The safer work version.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just kidding. It's a game at bars where you throw a beanbag across a field or across a certain distance.
Yeah. Half a block.
Oh, I wish. but I got kind of drunk that night on accident.
Yeah.
Because I was so excited to see Levi, and like he was like, "You don't have a shot," and I don't do that anymore. And I was like, "I can't say no. It's a CD release party, you know." And then he just like handed me a shot of Rumplemintz, and then like next thing you know, I'm outside playing cornhole with you guys, which just kind of happened. That happened, right?
It happened. With booze. Yeah. And you had the ringer, and I would like to say I still won, and I feel bad about that. But they do make a table cornhole. They call it's a miniature thing, and I thought about getting you for one of those for the studio. Like, while we're interviewing, we could be like, "Do you hear this?" Thump, you know, and then well, for Kevin and Kyle, because they're busy just sitting there watching us talk to each other.
What are you guys thinking? What do you think about the writing process? So you want to tell me your writing process for the drums and the cajon and stuff? How's that work for you? Does it just kind of happen on the spot?
He says there's a you can go to the website and download it, listen to it, and come play with us. I'm like, okay,
perfect.
It's all winging it. I like winging it is my game plan generally, musically. Just show up and wing it.
I know you're involved with Oki music. That's your thing. Mm-hmm. But
Oki.
Yeah. And I think I've noticed around recently, I don't know if it's recent, but I've recently noticed that a lot of people are going back to live tracking albums instead of what I hear is popular everywhere else is the multi-track, just because it's more available to everybody. So I guess what are your thoughts on that? What made you decide to go multi-track instead of just trying to live thing
for the second album?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our sound guy Pack is adamant that we do multi-track. I think he would.
That helps.
If we're recording there, he's going to do it. Now we did talk about, you know, doing a live album at some point, which I like, because I mean, I like the organicness of just doing it and feeding off each other and just kind of being in that moment with that song. Because I mean, that's how we play it live. I mean, that's kind of, I hear it in my mind continually. I mean, and playing today, I mean, I don't think we played any of the three tracks we did live flawlessly, but we were all,
that's for sure.
We were all able to cover each other a little bit, but it was natural. And even the recording process, and I've told Pac this, I said, you know, I want to try as best we can, even if we're going to do multi-track, is to do one takes on everything, you know. You know, if I'm going to do my vocals, do them all in one big take, you know, guitars, same way, drums. So we don't have this slicing, dicing thing. So it's going to be as natural as possible. And even if it's not perfect, I don't want to go in and, you know, and re-record every little part just to make it sound exactly how it, you know, would be perfect. I want it to sound like it's live, like we had just sit down basically and done a live track, except that he's got a multi-track and he can manipulate things a little bit and take clip them in and out and make it work, you know, in a little bit better sense. So.
That also takes probably a huge room or several rooms to live track like that and get a professional sound.
I think you would have to, you have a lot of space to be able to divide up between drums and you know, bass and guitar and everything, you know, if we had bass. But.
why no bass? Is that a thing?
I mean, we do have bass. We have bass players. Live, we don't ever play with one. We don't have anybody that's, Joe's plays a little bit of bass, but normally he'll and Kevin do this drum off thing.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
It's really cool. He does the, I don't know how people pronounce it different, the djembe, and then I'll do the cajon, and then we'll, during certain songs, we kind of bounce off each other. It's almost like a little battle sometimes.
Yeah.
It just seems people really like it, so we just
let them go sometimes. I mean, a couple songs, they'll get into it, and we just kind of, Kyle just play guitar, and we just look at them, and they're just going back and forth, and it's really a cool vibe.
Yeah,
it gives a different sound, and you don't see a lot of bands, I mean, without just traditional drums. And we do have, like I said, drum sets we can do, but you get a different...
I mean, it helps that we can do that because we can play in coffee shops or we can upgrade to play at a festival with drums.
Yeah.
So either way.
I've seen a couple bands, I think Modest Mouse and Brand New both had a dual drummer set up. Mm-hmm. And I'd seen it before, but I guess I never really paid attention to how much cooler that can make the songs. Even if the drummers aren't doing anything... Even if having two drummers doesn't do anything that you couldn't do with one person, it really just, I don't know, the more sounds, I guess, changes it. So that's cool.
We enjoy it.
Yeah.
But we just don't like bass players. That's the bottom line there.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, the truth came out.
No, we're very lucky. We do have actually a is odd, but we have several bass players on this new album.
Mm-hmm.
We had one on the last one, phenomenal job he did, Aaron Fletcher. He wasn't available for this track or this album. So we brought in a couple different players. We had a lady named Bernice from Smoking the Mirror from Fayetteville that did some stand-up bass.
Really,
phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And then there's a fellow from Tahlequah Tucker who also plays stand-up bass, and he's doing the recording that. And then we had James David Clark from Arkansas also come in and did some electric bass. And then we have John Barker coming and doing some bass. And do anybody else? That's it. Four bass players. That what I got. And Aaron Pack, our studio guy, plays bass, and he did bass on one of the tracks too, Broken Heart. Right.
Right.
I think so. And also, he's one of the cool elements too. Is like I said, we had flute on one track, and then Pack does. He's really an electronic musician guy. Like
yeah.
He likes kind of the industrial Nine Inch Nails sound, and if he records music, that's what he does. That's mm-hmm. his style. But he's doing some, I don't know, what do you call it? Synthesized sounds, drums.
I think, I think
on one track, he's doing some, maybe on the whole album, I don't know.
Thanks to Stranger Things, synth music is going to get huge again. Yeah. You've seen that? You've seen the, or at least
I've not
the,
seen it infused
music
into like our music, or like mm-hmm. our genre as much. So kind of him infusing it into what we're doing, I think is a little bit cutting edge. I mean, kind of
yeah.
it's what's old is new and all that kind of stuff, you
yeah.
know, and it kind of blending those two genres a little bit, I think is an interesting process we're looking at right now.
Was it a tough process for you to give somebody the I don't know, the option to produce or to add stuff to your songs? Or is that, I guess that's kind of the basis of the band and company. You just kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really open with that, to be mm-hmm. honest. I mean, I'm not as super protective as some artists are. I mean, they don't want things. I mean, they're very controlling of all of their stuff. And I'm just kind of like catch and release, like catch it. And I'm like, here you go. Let it go into the studio. And, you know, if I hear something and it's not working or Kyle does or whatever, I mean, you know, we'll say, you know, let's just wean that back a little bit. Generally speaking, I kind of like to let everyone come in and artistically interpret what they hear with the songs and put in what they feel. Cause they're always like, what direction should I go? I'm like, well, whatever direction you think you should go, you know,
follow your heart, man.
Well, and like you doing the multi-track. I mean, you know, you can ask me, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. I said, you need to do what you feel. You're in charge of that now. So I'm turning over.
You
know,
and you really fucked up there, buddy.
But if that makes sense, I mean, I'm not OCD about having, you know, a set sound. I mean, and that's mm-hmm. the funny thing, like going into it, like I think there's a general idea of what the music's going to sound like, but then we kind of let every song go in their own direction. And the album, you know, each, the difference may be that, you know, the one track sounds very country and then one track sounds very blues. And then, you know, maybe one sounds very rock pop. I mean, we just kind of got this
yeah.
whole variety of the way that the music is going on the album right now, some continuity to it as well. I mean, some of the musicians and the stuff stays the same, but a lot of the other elements will be varied. So I think it'd be an interesting album from the point that it's not going to be very, it's going to sound so different.
Yeah.
And, if you want to talk about the album real quick too, one interesting thing is I didn't know going into it, you kind of have an idea of what songs you're going to record. And I'd already had 10 songs I previously anticipated putting on the album, but it really didn't have any continuity to it. And then I wrote this song called Dust Bowl Heart. And then I thought, well, that'd be a cool name for an album. And so then I changed that to being the album name. Uh-huh. Decided on that, you know, a year or so ago.
So better hope the song's good then, because it's committed.
Yeah, I like it. It's committed. It's the title track. You know, it's pretty good. And I mean, it's a bluegrass sound, kind uh-huh. of a really traditional country
yeah,
bluegrass.
Yeah, you said somebody's
sound.
Coming to do some picking, right?
Is yeah, we got Thomas Trapp coming to do that. And he worked on the Troubadour's last album, and he's a really talented guitar player. So we're excited to have him on board. And then, but I didn't have a direction. I had several songs and they didn't really make any sense. Then one night I woke up, and this happens frequently, but I woke up 3 a.m. and I had like this vision of like these 10 songs and they told the story, this love okay. story. And then I was like, oh, that's what it's got to be. So then I went and put the songs down and it made sense kind of telling a story from the beginning to the end. The guy starts out Lonesome Bill, lonely and all this. And then he finds love and then the love, you know, falls apart and then he's back on his own going down the road, you know? So it kind of tells a, And we do have an interesting feature too on this album. We have I don't know how it'll be featured in the album, but we did have a spoken narrative part.
Oh, nice.
Like a poem type reading this older gentleman, James David Clark, did. And he's got a very interesting country drawl sound. and I'm not sure how we're going to incorporate it, but I remember being a child and hearing some, you know, recorded poem type things that like the Christmas story or different things. My parents had 8 tracks and they put them in and you listen and they'd just be reading poems. I don't know if you guys are familiar. You guys look at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, it used to be a much spoken narration used to be more of a thing, you know, not just audio on books. And so it's something we're going to incorporate in the album because I haven't heard anybody else do it in a long time. Just like on the last album when we recorded a waltz, people were like, yeah, people don't do waltzes anymore. It's like, well, we did.
And we loved it.
Yeah. And people waltz to it.
Yeah.
The Tennessee waltz specifically.
I didn't know there's different ones.
I don't know. I guess there are, right?
Don't look at me.
Come on.
let's play You Got Me Thinking About Drinking Again.
Oh, goodness. Because
we have 4 wonderful songs to play. Yeah. And let's just listen to that. This is the last one we're going to play that was recorded just live in the room. And we'll hear it.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Wow.
You got me thinking about drinking again. Got me pulling off of the wagon and into a bottle of gin. Can't stay sober any longer, not in the shape you let me in. Got me thinking about drinking again. The way you tore mine all apart with your alibis and all your dirty little lies. You got me sinking low as that setting sun. Thought I was your daddy, but I wasn't the only one. 'Cause you got me thinking about drinking again. Got me falling off of the wagon and into a bottle of gin. Can't stay sober any longer, not in the shape you left me in. Got me thinking about drinking again. So there's just a big black hole where it used to be. Before you put the hurt on me, got me wishing so that we'd never met. They say that I'll get over you, but it ain't happened yet. 'Cause you got me thinking about drinking again. Me falling off of the wagon and into a bottle of gin. Can't stay sober any longer, not in the shape you left me in. Got me thinking about drinking again.
Well, I would like you to edit out Joe in this entire thing.
I will. You know what
do you think, Joe?
I'll edit that out. That's cool. Tell me about You Got Me Thinking About Drinking.
That's a song we had for a little while. Straightforward. You know, it tells the story. Sometimes your woman's driven you to the point, or your guy's driven you to the point where I always start this song when I play it live. It says, anybody here ever drank so much that they were going to quit drinking? And of course, everybody's raised their hand. Like, oh, we've all done that. And then,
doing that right now.
Yeah, 2 days later, they're like, okay, I guess I'll drink again. So, but this is a particular song is about I've written from the perspective of a guy whose woman's pushed him to the point where he's quit drinking, but he's thinking about drinking again. Got me falling off the bottle or the wagon into a bottle of gin.
Because this totally relates at all. You know what I found recently that I think it's better than drinking? I freaking got the gas at the dentist last week. I'd never done that before. Holy shit, that was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently it was expensive.
No, just $30.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, because I made a stupid status of,
You needed to start a GoFundMe.
Is it rude to start a GoFundMe to afford the gas at the dentist, and you know, it was dumb, but it was pretty funny. I thought
it was funny.
Yeah,
wow, I thought you're.
And Kyle said, "Did you see his post?" He says, "Can you break a $2 bill?"
Oh, yeah,
$2 bill.
And a lot of people, I left it. I didn't say like the NOS because I wanted people to think it was just like gasoline.
I thought you meant gasoline.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to drive a long ass way to go to the dentist.
No, well, I hope this isn't gross to talk about, but I had to have a tooth removed that was growing in the wrong way.
That's pretty gross.
I'm sorry if that's disgusting.
No, I'm kidding.
But I was freaking out a lot. And I, like, when I'm getting cleanings and like repairs,
was it growing
and stuff,
in the wrong place or growing in your anus?
It was growing in the wrong direction. It was going
towards
growing,
his anus.
Growing towards my.
Because it would be gross if it was growing in your anus.
Yeah, it happens, you know, but not to me. But anyway,
the floss is what's weird.
I was concerned about saying stupid things, so I never got the gas at the dentist because you know, as soon as I get any kind of booze or anything,
it feels like we're on gas right now.
Yeah,
I mean, we said all kinds of stupid things.
Yeah, so
there's a leak in the building.
I think I may have been gassed my entire life, especially in front of a microphone. And I always say things that are super inappropriate and wrong. And the people just laugh. So I've had people tell me before, I like your music, all right, but I like to hear what you say because it like cracks me up. You know? I'm like, oh, thanks. I think. I'm not sure.
But yes, I got the gas and it was awesome.
Awesome.
I think we should all do that all the time.
Wow. Well, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Next time we come up here, you're going to have gas ready for it.
This might be the part of the podcast or any conversation you're in, John, where somebody asks you to get them drugs.
All right.
It
happens, you know. It happens.
I'm sure.
Part of life, you know. But I want to go back. I digress to that last song. I just want to say that is a very traditional country sounding song.
Yeah.
I think we really enjoy playing it. And we got a couple of those. Those would be the kind of tracks we're looking at maybe doing a live version of later on, some more beer drinking songs. But nothing about tailgates, nothing about
boots.
You know, boots. Yeah. Or miniature, what do they call them? Jean shorts.
Booties. Miniature jean shorts.
Miniature jean shorts, yeah.
Not the...
It's a new thing I just made up.
Not the standard country lyrics that have been...
No. Yeah, I'll sing about cargo pants and...
Yeah, for sure.
Car trunks and, you know, other things. Just throw them off the game.
Instead of lifted truck, it's lowered trucks.
Yeah.
This is dumb. I'm so glad to hang out with you guys, though.
It happens, right?
I've made this worse. I really, really, really... Really had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys today. Yeah. I hope you had fun too.
It's to say too that he's wearing his 1950 clothing shirt for the podcast. That. You can't see it,
but we do have sponsors. That's a new thing. We do have sponsors, sponsors.
Oh, nice. They're not paying me, so quit talking
about
them.
Oak America and 1950 clothing, just clothing companies. Nobody else will sponsor us yet, but they're thinking about it.
he needs a sponsor for his gas.
I like how you just
addiction.
Truck straight through my.
I just plowed through it.
Well. Well, I'm glad that they're sponsoring you. That's really helpful, I'm sure.
We do, and I don't know if you were going to get to it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do your thing. No. I'm just going to follow your lead.
No, you.
You're
you
dancing.
Go. I was about to close this bitch down.
I know, but we did have one more song. We did You were going to get the multi-track thing?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that,
okay,
too.
Okay, all right.
But was that what you were going to talk about?
I did. I was going to talk about it, but...
You ruined it.
I've had a great time.
You were about
time.
To close it down, and I was like, oh, he's closing it down. He's
not fuck
gonna,
that last song.
He's not going to talk about it.
I've had a great time hanging out with you guys.
Well, we have
thanks
to
for...
talk about it because you're now in the
end. I'm in the band. Yeah.
I think though he wants to talk about it and then close it like the song will end it.
Yeah, the song will be the end.
Okay, and then we no more talking.
No, we can't. Stop
no more talkie
talking.
But we still have minutes.
Joe,
I'm just
what do
trying
you say?
To.
Joe, go ahead, Joe.
I've had a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. Thank you so much for sparing so much time and let me record your music. It's really I don't know it means a lot, man, that you give me the opportunity to mess
with
your
art. And we're not the first band that's come here twice, right? Are we?
I don't think so.
People normally come back, or are they like scared to come back?
Well, they should be, but the other bands get paid to come here.
Oh, that's
I'm just kidding. Well, yeah. So let's talk about the multi-track.
We did it for the cheap beer.
Yeah, for sure, free beers. I think my girlfriend's brother left those here. I didn't buy those beers, which is pretty awesome.
Good though, you know,
we let his friends come get drunk here, and you know, not have any
and record things.
I took all this stuff down. Anyway, let's talk about recording.
Let's talk about your studio real quick. I would like to say that you've upgraded since we were here last. A new studio, lots of room, room for doing the multi-tracking. It's very nice. The decor is very lovely.
It's sexy.
It is sexy. It's a sexy studio.
Okay, thank you.
And I think you're in the process of maybe at some point setting up for other people to do podcasts here, and you could they could potentially use this. Is that something you wanted to be public knowledge? In the future, I'm just putting it out there for like people that we know who might be starting podcasts or need to. This is a good facility to look at, or other musicians that we know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just contact me.
Yeah.
This is so awesomely weird.
I'm promoting you.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to cut that so fast. Thank you. Thank you for letting me mess with your art.
Do you have a name for this? You need a name for this studio, though. Do you want me to name it?
thank you so much for letting me, I don't know, it means a lot that you let me mess with your art. That's an important thing to people, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I'm in the band now because I did play djembe on this track, which is pretty awesome. I forgot how bad I sucked at it.
So
but
you can come play a lot, any show we're doing, you just show
really?
Up.
Really? Yeah, show up.
Absolutely.
Fucking hammered.
Absolutely.
You playing at any dentist office?
You would not be the first, you would not be the first guy to do that. We did. You want to hear the story real fast?
Yeah, okay. Feel free.
So yeah, it was a couple of years ago, and Kyle wasn't there. Kevin played that show. And we were playing at the Red Fern Festival. And it was me and Kevin had not played with me before.
and Kevin showed up hammered?
He played before, but he'd not played any of the songs. So he didn't know any of them.
As usual.
And then we had another guy who I'm going to leave it, not say his name right now, but we'd call him the wild card. Mm-hmm. And he could be pretty good if he was sober. And he could be really bad if he was like really drunk. And so we started playing the first song because he'd not showed up. And he comes up in the stage, middle of the song, carrying a banjo, mandolin, mm-hmm. all kinds of instruments. Uh-huh. Throws him down on the stage, uh-huh. just plugs it into his mandolin and starts hammering around a mandolin that's out of tune. Uh-huh. And it sounded it was like, oh my God, it's like a train wreck. It was like horrible.
And that's how you found your new sound.
We get through the song, and then the sound engineer in front of the whole crowd goes, could you turn your mandolin? And he turns around and goes, you turn my mandolin. It's not out of tune. Oh my gosh. Do you remember being a train wreck?
Yes. Yeah. That sounds amazing.
It was epic in a way that was horrible. But, you know, I'm super glad nobody recorded any of that. It is. Okay. Yeah, it was an experience. But, so that was the drunk guy showing up at a gig store. You mentioned showing up hammered and but you know on a small Cajon or something like that. I mean, how much damage could you do?
But that wasn't the best story.
Okay,
there was another story where the wild card shows up.
Oh great!
And we were almost
I'm gonna need this person's contact
information. We're almost done with the gig, right? We're almost through. We're in the middle of the song again, and the dude comes in, and he kind of goes face first into the stage with the guitar on. He didn't spill his beer, though. He held his beer up in the air.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he had his priorities straight. He's like,
I'm sorry, I just rushed here on my motorcycle.
Oh, shit.
Like, how the fuck did you get here on a motorcycle with a beer in your hand?
And a guitar.
He was probably holding the beer, like, driving down the road, like, dodging the bugs and shit. And he's got the beer in his hand.
Hammer drunk with a beer, yeah.
But he did not spill his beer. I was very proud of that. Like, this guy is a pro. Yeah. He made it here alive on a motorcycle, did not spill his beer, and he's
made alive.
It for the he's alive.
I'll work on getting him in the studio sometime. Yeah, solo, let's do that. I just want to
you show up on your gas and have him with his beer.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Badass. Yeah. So you're officially in the band. So hammered or not, you know, whatever.
I'm into it. Thank you for that. I'm probably going to take you up on
that. There's processes you got to go through as well, but we won't talk about them.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about this real fast before we digress. End this thing.
Okay.
But we will be playing at the White Flag soon, which is downtown.
Great.
It's a very good reason. And you want to talk about that, Kevin?
Yes. When they first opened, they had a contest to name a hamburger that they do, and I won.
Nice.
And so now they have a hamburger named Kevin.
Great. At the White Flag?
At the White Flag. So
I want to go eat the Kevin at the White Flag.
If you put the Kevin in your mouth, think of me.
I will, of course.
If you have juices on your mouth, that's okay.
You know, I was meaning to say those stories about your friend, the wild card. I was like, man, thanks for telling a couple stories that they're perfectly relatable to this podcast right now. Just a fucking train wreck.
You're probably thinking that. You're like, why did I invite these guys?
No, man. I've really, honestly,
there's
loved
a reason I don't have a microphone on the live stream.
Normally, Kyle doesn't. Well, we're on the radio. And I think they really liked us the other day. We're on the radio Friday.
Saw a video.
On Lakes Country. And
they don't even ask me questions
they
anymore.
They tagged us, and they're like, funny guys, because apparently we were quite funny. Mm-hmm. But we were going on to record something about having a shit ton of stickers. And he goes, oh, we can't cuss on the radio. And he's like, and he gets on, and he goes, Dr. Feld's here just saying he has lots of stuff to give away. He lots of shit to give away. And then the female broadcaster, Faith, she's like, on in between recording, she goes, I was going to say something about Big Cajona, but I didn't know if that was like bad, something we could say or not. And I said, well, probably all contextual, you know, I mean, how you say it. And then we got back and I said something about somebody having a Big Cajona and it made it sound real, you know, like a sexual innuendo, and everybody's just cracking up. I was like, well, technically it wasn't a cursing, you know?
Yeah, I remember not cussing on the radio. I was really concerned that I was going to cuss on the radio. It was several years ago that I was playing on the radio. And, but what was funny to me is there's all these rules about drinking and like what you can do off air and like, you can't do any of that. But we were doing like all of that. We were like getting drunk at the radio station. Right. And I like booked a show that night with somebody else there. It was a pretty good time. Well, yeah, indeed. Let's talk about the song we recorded Mock Track. Tell me a little bit about the song.
Actually a brand new song. I just threw it at the guys. They weren't ready for it. But it's one I'd written. We'd taken a road trip down to Kansas City with the kids, and I write music while I'm driving, and just even with all the kids in the car and everything else. And it's one I wrote with my father-in-law in mind. It's a truck driving song called End of the Line, and just kind of talks about just driving across the country in his big rig, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of listen to the lyrics. They'll explain it all. Self-explanatory, really.
Yeah, we better go record those lyrics right after this. We haven't done that part yet.
No.
He's like, tell us about the song. He's like, no, you listen to it.
You'll
figure it out. You'll figure it out.
And when are you playing at White Flag? Do you have a date for that? I don't think we said that.
Not yet.
Yeah, okay. I think we're nulling one down. Maybe, I don't know yet.
Yeah, well.
Go online, docfellmusic.com. We have the dates listed there. If you want to follow us on Bands in Town, we're on there. We list dates.
Facebook,
we do create events there. Lots of ways you can track us, and people do actually track us and follow us around. We have three or four people that follow us around the country.
Yeah.
Or the state general, the county.
The two venues we play.
They will follow us for a few miles.
Yeah. At least 18 steps.
But they are loyal, and they will sing along, and it's kind of
beautiful.
Cool.
That's a beautiful experience.
We were playing at the Full Moon here in Broken Arrow a couple weeks ago, and the manager comes up, Keith, and he said, man, he goes, you really wrote all these songs? You guys, they're all original. I said, yeah. And he goes, but there were people up there singing along. And I said, yeah. I said, they're our fans. He's looked at me kind of weird. I was like, what? That wasn't hard to believe. He just assumed they were singing along. Like, these are songs here on the radio. No, they have our CD and they have it memorized. So, and we
you guys,
love them.
Like, this band has people. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
Trying to be the promoter.
But no, he was really, he gave us a great compliment. He said he'd started Legends in Fort Worth, and he'd heard, you know, Pat Green. He's heard all these great artists. And he said it's rare that a band catches his ear. And he said that we really caught his ear. He was really impressed with, you know, the writing and the performance and everything we'd done. So must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's great. And what was the website again? I'll leave a link for it.
DocFellMusic.com.
Great. And this is...
And links to social media are in there. And
the built up, the hopefully dramatic waiting you've been doing for the multi-track recorded song.
Yes.
It'll be right here. Unless I freak out and just delete it because I'm scared.
End of the line. And you're going to do a magical job with that.
All right. Thanks, guys. Here's End of the Line recorded here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Wipers working overtime. Raindrop falling from a dull gray sky. Lonesome highway in 18 wheels. Interstate cowboy flattening out them hills. Asphalt lines below my feet. Cutting through the fields of waving wheat. A million miles to go. Up from Tucson down to Tupelo. It's been a long time since anywhere was home. My kingdom and castle built of diesel and chrome. California, Kansas, Missouri, Maine. The world passing me by in the outside. Slow me down. Now I'm breezing through the heart of your one horse town. It's been a long time since anywhere was home. My kingdom and castle built of diesel and chrome. California, Kansas, Missouri, and Maine. The world passing me by in the outside lane. But it'll be long. muscle and chrome. California, Kansas, Missouri, and Maine. The world passing me by in the outside lane. Getting older by the day, but it'll be a long time till this big rig hits the end of the line. Older by the day, but it'll be a long time till this big rig hits the end of the line.